In a world where romance novels often blend together, Colleen Hoover's Point of Retreat stands apart as a raw, emotionally charged sequel that continues to captivate readers years after its 2012 release. This follow-up to the best-selling Slammed has maintained a devoted following, with celebrities like Reese Witherspoon and Taylor Swift publicly praising Hoover's ability to craft stories that feel authentically human. The novel's exploration of young love facing adult responsibilities resonated so deeply with readers that it helped cement Hoover's status as the queen of contemporary romance, long before TikTok's hashtag BookTok community would catapult her earlier works back onto bestseller lists nearly a decade later. What if the greatest test of love isn't finding it, but choosing to keep it when everything seems to pull you apart? Will Cooper and Laken Cohen's love story began under the most unlikely circumstances. Both had their lives upended by the sudden deaths of their parents, thrusting them into the role of guardians for their younger brothers. Will, once a promising college student with a scholarship, abandoned his dreams to raise his brother Culver after losing both parents in 2008. Lake similarly stepped up to care for her brother Kel following her father's death and her mother Julia's terminal cancer diagnosis. Their shared grief and responsibilities created an unbreakable bond between them, but also complicated their relationship. As 2012 begins, Will is continuing his education while raising Calder, with Lake living across the street. Despite their proximity, finding quality time alone proves nearly impossible, with two young boys constantly demanding attention. Their relationship exists in a delicate balance, deeply in love, yet maintaining physical boundaries due to a promise made to Lake's mother before her death. Will writes in his journal that 2011 brought love, grief, healing, but Julia's death felt like losing his mother all over again. Their unconventional family unit includes their brothers, their best friends Eddie and Gavin, and their new neighbor Kirsten, a precocious 11-year-old with wisdom beyond her years. During their regular family dinners, they practice a ritual called Suck and Sweet, where everyone shares the worst and best parts of their day. This simple practice keeps them connected through life's challenges, from school schedules to the boys' mischievous pranks. Despite the stability they've created, Will and Lake's relationship faces a significant milestone, the approaching end of the one-year waiting period Julia requested before they become intimate. Their anticipation builds as they count down the hours, testing the boundaries of their promise while maintaining their point of retreat, the moment they pull back from physical temptation. This tension underscores how their relationship exists in a space between teenage passion and adult responsibility, neither fully one nor the other. Just as Will and Lake prepare for their special weekend together, the culmination of their year-long wait, the past crashes back into their lives. Will's ex-girlfriend Vaughn unexpectedly appears in his college death and dying class, bringing with her memories of a relationship that ended when Will's parents died. Though Will feels nothing for Vaughn now, her presence creates a complication he chooses to hide from Lake, fearing it might upset her before their weekend away. Will's decision proves disastrous when Vaughn shows up at his house just as he's preparing to leave with Lake. In a moment of closure, Will hugs Vaughn and kisses her forehead, a gesture Lake witnesses and misinterprets. The discovery that Will has been hiding Vaughn's presence in his life for weeks shatters Lake's trust. "How many other things have you been keeping from me?" she demands, her voice breaking with betrayal. This crisis forces both characters to confront deeper insecurities about their relationship. Lake questions whether Will is with her only because of their shared circumstances, their parallel losses, their guardianship responsibilities, their proximity as neighbors. "What if you only love me because of our situation?" she asks. "What happens years from now when those circumstances fade?" Her fear cuts to the heart of their connection. Is their love genuine or merely a product of convenience and shared trauma? Will's inability to immediately answer this question creates a rift between them. He knows he loves Lake completely, but struggles to articulate why in a way that separates his feelings from their circumstances. This communication breakdown reveals how young they still are, despite their adult responsibilities. At 19 and 21, they're navigating complex emotional territory without the guidance most couples their age would have from parents or more extensive relationship experience. Meanwhile, their friends face their own crisis when Eddie discovers she's pregnant. Gavin's initial panic about becoming a father at 19 parallels Will and Lake's situation, young people forced to grow up too quickly. These intertwined storylines highlight the novel's central theme, how love survives when life accelerates the normal progression of relationships and responsibilities. Will's journey to win Lake back centers on his ability to express why he loves her beyond their shared circumstances. As a slam poet who first connected with Lake through poetry at their high school's creative writing club, Will understands intimately how words can bridge the gaps between hearts. His background in poetry, something he initially pursued to process his own grief, becomes the perfect vehicle for reaching Lake's guarded heart. With careful orchestration from their friends and unexpected support from Kirsten, who sees past her own hurt to recognize genuine love, Will plans an ambitious performance at the local poetry slam. The venue itself holds significance. It's where they first saw each other perform, where Lake first showed her vulnerability through verse. Their friends work behind the scenes, ensuring Lake attends despite her initial reluctance, understanding the importance of this moment. His performance becomes the emotional centerpiece of the novel, transforming the simple stage into a space of profound confession. Will arrives with a carefully curated collection of seemingly ordinary objects, each holding extraordinary meaning in their shared history. Standing beneath the spotlight, he presents each item with trembling hands. Her original poem that earned a 0 in class, but showed her unflinching honesty and raw passion. Her ugly shirt with the faded band logo he pretends to hate but secretly stole to sleep in, her purple hair clip that keeps breaking but she stubbornly repairs, a small but powerful symbol of her persistent hope in the face of adversity. Through each object, Will weaves a tapestry of specific moments and deeper truths about Lake's character. "I love you because you cry when you're happy and smile when you're sad," Will declares, his voice carrying across the hushed room. "I love you because you still believe in the good in people, even after everything you've been through." He acknowledges their shared trauma while emphasizing that it merely revealed, rather than created, her essential nature. "I love you because you leave sticky notes with encouraging messages on strangers' cars, because you name every stray cat you meet, because you dance terribly but with complete joy." His raw honesty culminates in the simple truth that cuts through all their complications. "I love you because of you, because of every single thing about you, the parts you show everyone and the parts you try to hide, the strength you don't know you have and the weaknesses you're not afraid to show." This powerful moment of vulnerability finally breaks through Lake's carefully constructed defenses. Outside, in the gently falling snow, their reconciliation mirrors the intensity of their earlier conflict. Lake apologizes between kisses, her words creating small clouds in the cold air, while Will makes promises that show his understanding of love's true nature. "I'll show you how much you mean to me every single day. I'll never stop showing you." Their reunion beautifully captures the novel's deeper perspective on love. It's not just an emotion, but a daily choice, requiring constant communication and recommitment. True love doesn't simply endure despite difficulties, it deepens and strengthens because of how couples face those challenges together, growing stronger through every test and trial. Just when Will and Lake reconcile, fate delivers its cruelest blow. Driving home from the poetry slam through heavy snow, Lake's car is struck by a truck crossing the median. Will, following in his own vehicle, watches in horror as the accident unfolds in slow motion. The truck's headlights piercing through the snowfall, the sickening crunch of metal, and his world shattering as he realizes Lake, Eddie, and Kirsten are in danger. The weather conditions that night are treacherous, with black ice forming on the roads and visibility severely limited by the swirling snow. The aftermath of the accident represents the novel's darkest moment, rendered in visceral detail that haunts both Will and readers. Will finds Lake unconscious in the snow, blood streaming from her head and staining the pristine white ground crimson. Her skin is pale, almost translucent in the harsh winter night. Despite his desperate attempts to help her, checking her pulse, trying to keep her warm, whispering desperate prayers, paramedics eventually pull him away as she's rushed to the hospital. The scene unfolds in fragmented, disorienting prose that mirrors Will's psychological state. Time slows to a crawl, details blur and sharpen randomly, and his focus narrows to Lake's motionless body, illuminated by the pulsing red emergency lights. At the hospital, Will faces the terrifying possibility of losing Lake just when they've found their way back to each other. His internal monologue reveals the depth of his fear and desperation. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't think. I couldn't function. Every second felt like drowning. When he learns Lake requires emergency surgery for an epidural hematoma, the clinical medical terminology only heightens his sense of helplessness. The doctors speak of pressure on the brain, potential complications, and survival rates, each word hitting Will like a physical blow. This crisis forces Will to confront practical realities he and Lake had never discussed during their whirlwind romance. He discovers he doesn't know her blood type, can't access her medical history, can't sign consent forms, and has no legal standing in her care. The situation starkly highlights how their relationship exists in a liminal space between teenage romance and adult partnership, with all the legal and practical implications that entails. Will finds himself in the waiting room, powerless to help the person he loves most, while decisions about her care fall to distant relatives they barely know. The accident also raises heart-wrenching questions about what would happen to Kel if Lake couldn't care for him. The young boy's vulnerability becomes painfully apparent in the sterile hospital environment. When Kel asks Will directly, his voice small and frightened, "What happens to me if she can't take care of me anymore?" Will makes a promise that defines his character. "We stay together. No matter what happens, we stay together." This moment crystallizes Will's growth from a young man thrust into guardianship to someone who willingly embraces responsibility for an expanded family, understanding that love means choosing to be there even in the darkest moments. The crisis also brings their entire support network into sharp focus. Julia offering silent support, Eddie maintaining a brave face despite his own injuries, and even Gavin setting aside past conflicts to help however he can. Through this ordeal, the theme of chosen family becomes even more pronounced as their community rallies together in the face of potential tragedy. Lake's survival and slow recovery become the novel's path toward resolution. When she finally regains consciousness and whispers Will's name, he calls it the most beautiful sound in the world. Their reunion in the hospital room is tender and disorienting. Lake remembers the poetry slam, but nothing afterward, asking Will if she forgave him. "Yes, you forgave me, and you love me, a bunch," he assures her with a smile. The recovery period reveals new dimensions to their relationship. Will becomes Lake's caretaker, helping her shower, managing her medications, and enforcing the doctor's orders for bed rest. Their roles shift as Lake, normally fiercely independent, must rely on Will in ways neither expected. This dynamic creates both tenderness and tension. Will admires Lake's determination to recover quickly, but worries she pushes herself too hard. When Lake becomes distraught about the patch of hair shaved for her surgery, Will makes an impulsive decision that demonstrates the depth of his commitment. Taking his own hair trimmer, he shaves a matching patch on his head, telling her, "Now we match." This gesture, sacrificing his appearance to make her feel less self-conscious, epitomizes the novel's view of love as actions rather than words. Meanwhile, the accident's aftermath affects everyone in their circle. Eddie's pregnancy survives despite her injuries, bringing relief to Gavin, who begins to embrace fatherhood. Kirsten, her arm in a cast, returns to school only to face renewed bullying, which prompts Will to intervene with surprising assertiveness. these parallel storylines show how trauma can either strengthen or break relationships, depending on how people respond to crisis. Perhaps most surprising is the emergence of Sherry, Kirsten's mother, as an unexpected source of wisdom and support. Initially portrayed as eccentric and boundary-crossing, Sherry reveals depths of understanding born from her own tragedy, losing her fiancé Jim in a car accident years earlier. "You're too young to have so much responsibility," she tells Will, "but you're doing a good job. Your mom and dad would be proud." Her validation acknowledges what Will has rarely heard, recognition of his sacrifice and affirmation of his choices. One of the novel's most powerful scenes unfolds during the school talent show, where Calder and Kirsten perform slam poems that reveal profound emotional insights that shake the entire audience. Kirsten's poem, Butterfly You, confronts bullying with surprising maturity, challenging not just those who hurt others, but those who stand by watching. Her performance begins with a haunting metaphor of a butterfly's wings being torn, representing the slow destruction of self-esteem that bullying creates. As she speaks, she distributes handmade paper butterflies throughout the audience, each one containing a message of hope written inside. This artistic choice transforms her personal pain into a communal experience, demonstrating how art can transmute suffering into strength. Calder's poem, Suck and Sweet, delivers an even more powerful emotional punch. Standing alone on stage, his voice initially trembling but growing stronger, he shares his raw experience of losing his parents. He describes how their faces become less clear in his memory with each passing year, like photographs left in the sun too long. The poem weaves between specific memories, his mother's laugh while baking cookies, his father's hands showing him how to tie shoelaces, and the growing void their absence creates. Most significantly, he acknowledges Will's sacrifice with stark honesty. "My brother gave up everything for me, his scholarship, his freedom, his youth, trading textbooks for children's books, trading parties for parent-teacher meetings." This moment represents a breakthrough in their relationship, Calder articulating a gratitude Will never expected or required. Will's reaction captures the scene's emotional weight. "I couldn't hold back the tears any longer. I wrapped my arms around him and squeezed him as tight as I could." These performances highlight how the novel's youngest characters often express emotional truths the adults struggle to articulate. Through poetry, Calder and Kirsten process trauma with a directness that many adults have learned to avoid. Kirsten's metaphorical butterflies become symbols of transformation throughout the school, with students passing them between classes as reminders to stand up against cruelty. Calder's honest exploration of loss helps Will acknowledge his own grief, which he had suppressed while focusing on being a caregiver. Their creative expressions demonstrate remarkable emotional intelligence, showing how children, unburdened by adult pretenses, can sometimes navigate complex feelings more authentically. Their resilience offers hope that the cycle of pain can be broken through creative expression and emotional honesty, proving that healing often comes through giving voice to what hurts most. The novel's resolution brings Will and Lake to a pivotal decision point about their future together. Rather than continuing to let circumstances and obligations dictate their relationship, they actively choose to formalize their commitment through marriage. This decision marks a profound transformation from a relationship initially defined by external pressures and responsibilities to one they consciously shape and embrace. The weight of their past traumas and family obligations evolves into a deliberate choice to build a future together. Their wedding ceremony deliberately breaks with tradition in ways that perfectly encapsulate their journey. They opt for a simple courthouse ceremony with Eddie and Gavin as witnesses, a choice that reflects their prioritization of authenticity over social conventions. Lake's decision to wear jeans and the ugly shirt that Will pretends to hate becomes a perfect symbol of their relationship's foundation in genuine self-expression. The shirt, with its history of playful banter between them, represents how they've learned to embrace each other's quirks and imperfections. They exchange their vows between spontaneous kisses, barely registering the officiant's formal words, creating a ceremony that feels uniquely theirs rather than a performance for others. The couple's evolution is further demonstrated in their approach to supporting Eddie and Gavin's new family. By offering their house until September, they show how they've grown from being overwhelmed by their own responsibilities to confidently extending support to others. This gesture creates a meaningful parallel to their own story. Just as others helped them navigate their losses, they now step into the role of supporters themselves. Their generosity establishes a nurturing cycle of care that stands in stark contrast to the isolation and burden they experienced after losing their parents. This decision reflects their understanding that family isn't just about obligation, but about choosing to be there for others. The novel's culmination finds deeper meaning in Will and Lake's first intimate moment as husband and wife. When Will makes one final check, asking if she's ready to not call retreat, Lake's response of being butterflying positive as she wraps her legs around him carries layers of significance. This moment transcends physical intimacy to represent the completion of their emotional journey, from uncertainty to unwavering commitment, from retreat to advance. The butterfly metaphor, woven throughout their story, comes full circle as they embrace their transformation from survivors of tragedy to architects of their own happiness. Their intimacy becomes a celebration not just of their marriage, but of their growth from reluctant guardians to confident partners who choose each other freely and fully. Point of Retreat ultimately explores how love survives when tested by external circumstances and internal doubts. Will and Lake's relationship endures not because it's perfect or easy, but because they repeatedly choose each other despite having every reason to retreat. Their love deepens through crisis rather than despite it, as each challenge reveals new aspects of their character and commitment. From financial struggles to medical emergencies, each obstacle serves as a crucible that strengthens their bond rather than weakening it. The novel's power lies in its honest portrayal of young adults navigating responsibilities far beyond their years. Will and Lake aren't superhuman. They make mistakes, miscommunicate, and occasionally retreat from difficult emotions. They struggle with college coursework while managing households, juggle part-time jobs with childcare duties, and face moments of overwhelming doubt about their abilities to parent their younger siblings. Yet they consistently find their way back to each other through vulnerability, forgiveness, and the courage to move forward despite fear. Their relationship demonstrates how true partnership means sharing not just joy, but also burden, doubt, and grief. Through poetry slams, impromptu family dinners, and daily acts of care, from helping with homework to leaving encouraging notes, they create a life that honors their parents' memories while building something new. Their unconventional family, two young guardians, their brothers, and their equally young friends, demonstrates how family can be chosen and created rather than simply inherited. The support network they build includes neighbors who become surrogate parents, classmates who provide emotional support, and community members who step in during crucial moments. Will and Lake's journey is marked by small victories as much as dramatic moments. They learn to navigate practical challenges like budgeting and time management alongside emotional ones like processing grief and maintaining romance amid responsibility. Their story shows how love matures from passionate beginnings into something more substantial, a partnership built on trust, shared purpose, and daily choice. By the story's end, Will and Lake have transformed from victims of circumstance to architects of their future. They've learned that stability doesn't mean the absence of challenges, but the confidence to face them together. Their journey reminds us that love's greatest strength isn't found in perfect moments, but in its resilience through imperfect ones, in the choice to not retreat when retreat seems easiest, and in the courage to advance toward each other even when the path forward seems uncertain. Through their story, we see how true love isn't just about surviving crises, but about growing stronger through them, emerging with deeper understanding and commitment.